Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
My intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus. I want this to be a prayer to the God of our many understandings.
We've anointed and consecrated this passageway, so symbolic, when the president-elect passes through here to become the next president of the United States.
There's a passage where Paul says, if I stay here and live with you, that's good. If I die and go to heaven, that's better. That's how I feel about this decision.
One of the things that was said is that in your religion, you don't take anyone to a doctor. Is that the case?
No, that's just not true. It's actually the opposite.
I think there's room for two Oprahs. I think if there is a new Oprah, Oprah would be happy that Obama's the new Oprah.
Is this a high point for St. Peter or a low point for St. Peter? I mean, in one breath, well, maybe more than one breath, but in consecutive breaths, St. Peter is confessing Christ and then urging him, practically standing in his way as he heads toward the cross. And Jesus, for his part, in two consecutive breaths, is praising the confession that Peter has made. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And then in the very next breath, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking the thoughts of God, but of men. What is going on here? We're going to talk about the confession of St. Peter. Pastor George Borghardt joins us here for the first half hour of the program. He's associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday. It's the 14th of January. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll talk homosexuality with Pastor Eric Andre, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Homosexuality Not Gay and Not Biblical. And then Scott Klusendorf will join us for part two of a five-part weekly series we've been doing with him on bad ways to argue about abortion today, attacking the person rather than the argument. It's called the ad hominem argument. We'll find out what's wrong with it when we talk with Scott at the very beginning of hour two of Issues, etc. Then some audio open lines. National Public Radio did an interview with Bishop Gene Robinson. He's been invited, among others, to say a few words in a prayer at an inauguration event. They're calling it the kickoff inauguration event for President-elect Barack Obama this next week. And he's talking to the press. You might remember that Rick Warren's also been invited to give the invocation at the inauguration, which has ruffled some feathers. Gene Robinson says he's ready to go. He doesn't know quite what he's going to say, but he's not going to mention Jesus. Doesn't want to offend anybody. We'll talk about that in the last half hour of Issues, etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. George Borghardt is pastor, associate pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Peter and His Rocky Confession. George, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm got to catch my breath here a little bit because
Me too. I had to run across the way and get my son Thomas right after school and get back here.
Okay, let's
I just hit myself really hard when you said that guy was going to talk for a minute in front of all those people and not mention Jesus. So I think I hit myself too hard. What's up?
No, I'm a little out of breath because I was we were tying up some loose technical ends here, which seems to be kind of the order of the day around here lately. Right before the program.
Whenever I'm on.
Yeah, whenever you're on. Now, that's what it is. You know, we thought it might be mindless repairman. We thought it might be broken equipment or maybe Borkhardt. A bill that didn't get paid, something like that. It turns out it's Borkhardt.
It's Borkhardt.
All along. All right, yeah. From now on, we know who to blame.
Thanks for feeding my narcissism.
Yeah, no problem. You're in fact quite lucky that last time we had you on, we kept dropping your call. And and I know you found that just delightful. And
I kept thinking, I'm talking.
This time,
no,
I will
listen.
Just...
I'm talking to myself. It's like my sermons.
I'll tell you, this time you're lucky to be on at all. All right?
I am. I feel blessed.
Say no more.
I feel blessed.
All right. What's going on here where in the same breath, Peter can confess Christ and then stand in his way on his road to the cross, and Jesus can praise Peter's confession and then say just a moment later, get behind me, Satan?
Well, that's a question right there. Well, I think it has to do with it's our human nature. When Peter makes his confession, it's not his confession. It's his mouth, it's his lips, he's the one saying the words. But the words flow from his Father. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal to you this, but my Father in heaven. The confession is divine. It's word of God. Later on, Peter gets in the way of his confession. He starts to give Jesus what he thinks. He gives Jesus a little of his religion, a little of his heart. You know, Jesus says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and die for the whole world. All right, after 3 days, I'm going to raise again from the dead. And Peter gets in the way. He loves his friend Jesus. He's the top of the class. He's probably feeling a little bit bold after that great answer in Sunday school. Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And so when Peter interjects himself into his confession, it messes it all up. He's got a different view of Jesus than the one who is going to die for him. And that's not word of God suddenly. When Peter interjects his own confession into himself into his confession, suddenly it's Satan talking. Get behind me, Satan.
Is this typical of the way that even the best of Christians confesses their faith?
Well, yeah. Sometimes our confessions are full of Christ, and sometimes they're full of us. And a confession that's full of us is going to teeter. It teeters on us, on what we think, feel, and know. All right? So the difference between a rock-solid confession and a Satan confession is, well, Christ. Is Christ the center of the confession? Is he the one who's going to rescue us from our sins? Or is there something else going on with Jesus? So Peter's first confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the guy who's anointed by God to take on the sin of the world and to die. You are the suffering servant. You are the servant of Yahweh. You are that guy, the Son of the living God, the one who'll die on the cross for us. Second confession is all Peter, what Peter thinks, feels, and knows. So when we start our religion with, you know, well, I feel like God, or I don't think Jesus is like that, or I, well, then we're going to start that Peter confession, and it's going to be weak. But if our confession is centered on Christ and what he did for us, well, then the gates of Hades won't overcome it.
Do you ever find yourself in Bible class when someone has given an especially brilliant answer to one of your equally brilliant questions, like saying, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but our Father in heaven?
Right, the only good answers don't flow from you at all. They don't come from me at all. We have a Texas expression, the light shines on the dog's behind every now and again. That never happens with the Lord. The good confession, the solid confession, comes from the Spirit, comes from the Father. It doesn't come from you at all. Flesh and blood doesn't. So we could actually say that every time someone gives a good answer. The answers that flow from us, how we feel, what we think, what we know, well, they last only as we are feeling, we are thinking, and we are knowing. And for some of us, that may be 75 years, and for others of us, that may be 90 years, or less than that. But they die with us. The solid confession, the rock solid, they flow from the Father. And you could build a church on those confessions.
You said before that you hit yourself in the head when you heard me mention Gene Robinson refusing to mention the name of Christ in his upcoming prayer at a kickoff inaugural event for President-elect Barack Obama. He's made it clear in the press. He said, I am not going to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer that anyone can pray. I don't want to exclude anyone.
Right.
What is your response to someone who, flying under the banner of the Christian church, says such a thing and then goes on and does such a thing?
Get behind me, saying you have your hindrance to me. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of men. He's going to please men. Oh, gosh. Boy, I just am in the zone, aren't I? He's going to please men over and against Jesus. So he has the Lord of heaven and earth who saved him by his death on the cross. And so I can please God by my confession and mention him and suffer ridicule and despising and be, you know, torn up in the press and whatever. Or I can please men. This happens in Holy Week. This actually happens in Holy Week, and I'm stuck in the middle of the Lenten reflections for higher things. I'm writing the devotions for them for the Lenten season. But it happens in Holy Week. It's like Holy Tuesday or Wednesday, where there's a comment by John where he makes a comment that the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they love the glory of men more. And that's an example of that. I have a chance to mention Jesus or proclaim him as Lord. That is the one who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all my sins, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, innocent suffering and death. Or I can talk about what I want to talk about. And you know, sing the song, All Praise to Me, All About Me. Well, okay. Well, then, which of those confessions is going to last? Which of those confessions are going to endure? The one that pleases men or the one that pleases God?
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, I want an answer to that question, because there are many in the church today. You don't have to go so far as Gene Robinson to find preachers. In fact, you can find them on your own corner church pulpit, standing there saying, look, we'd like to please God with our confession, but that wouldn't attract people in. So we'll keep Jesus in the background for now. We'll see what Pastor Borghardt has to say about that after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. James Marquardt Jr., Mel Mallon, Stephen Martin, Daniel Ray, Jack Krigbaum, Jacob Apple, Dr. Charles Geeshan, Barbara Campbell, Pastor Martin Kaler, and Char Moore. Thanks for your support.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Peter and his rocky confession. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Gene Robinson planning not to mention Christ. He's going to avoid it and do his best to keep Christ unmentioned in his prayer and his remarks at the beginning of an inauguration kickoff event for President-elect Barack Obama next week. But it strikes me, George, you don't have to go all the way to Washington, D.C., or to the caliber of Gene Robinson to find a hesitancy, perhaps a fear and an unwillingness to mention Christ, even in the church he founded. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, he's scandal. He's scandalous. It's a foolish message if you think about it. My grandmother said it. I was born and raised Roman Catholic. My grandmother looks at me and says, so you actually believe that all of your sins were taken upon by Christ and that that saves you apart from you doing anything? I said, yep, that's about the size of it. Faith receives. And she says, well, that's just foolish. She knows now that Christ receives her by faith and not by grace. But here again, it's scandalous. It's scandalous that Christ would be the one who saves us and not us. It seems insane. And the world's religion, will have anything but Jesus. And so it's the clergy test. I love it. When you want to test a clergyman to find out whether or not he's faithful, see how much you can talk about Jesus. Don't talk about God. Talk about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And if the guy gets a little hesitant and starts fidgeting or looks at his watch and he's got something better to do, well, then you need to go to a different church. Because before the guy even gets in the pulpit, if he's nervous about Christ, you need to be somewhere else. He has not in mind the things of God. He has in mind the things of men. And so it's not surprising that this guy would announce to the world, I'm going to talk about everything but Jesus. Great for him. You know, good for you. Now, the other thing what concerns me about that is that sort of behavior denies the very existence of God, as if Christ did not raise from the tomb and isn't sitting at the right hand of God going, I thought I sent my preachers to preach the gospel. So there's a whole lot of problems with that, but the main problem with Christ is it's scandalous. A Jew in Palestine in 30 AD is the one who wins salvation for the whole world. And CNN isn't there. Fox News isn't there. The New York Times isn't there. No one's there. But some gospel writers. And that is the salvation for not just those guys, but for the world. And that's scandal. And it's not just that we don't want to hear about it, that I don't want it. You know, you have your religion, Todd, and I have mine, and it's okay that you have yours and I have mine. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear about Jesus. And that's the scandal of the cross. And to that religion, far be it from you, Lord, this should never happen to you, is the get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men.
Evan in Fort Wayne, Indiana, emails us with a question. What is the rock? The treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope says certainly the church is not built upon the authority of a human being, but upon the ministry of that confession Peter made in which he proclaimed Jesus to be on this rock, that is, on this ministry. Evan says, what is the ministry that is being spoken of? I've always understood the rock to be Peter's confession. How does this differ from the ministry spoken of in the Lutheran confessions?
It's Peter making the confession. Okay, you can't say simply it's this the confession. There's a mouth speaking it, and that's the ministry. So it's not the church is not built on the man Peter. He can go either way. Sometimes he wants to confess Christ, and sometimes he wants to deny Christ. Sometimes he wants to, all will turn away from you, Jesus, but I will never turn away. He's like my son who looks at me and goes, Father, whatever you want. You know, I know something's wrong then. But if it's built upon the confession of Peter, well, it's Peter confessing Jesus. That's the apostolic scripture, the confession, and the apostolic ministry, the man confessing it. A lot of times we're trying to avoid a Roman Catholic problem, you know, Peter as first pope. So we say, okay, it's only the confession. Well, we can't do that because there has to be a mouth confessing it. Last I checked, you know, except with a radio, you know, an empty room without a voice has there's no confession. There's a man, Peter, making a confession. But the church is not built on a man. It's built on the confession that Peter makes. But it's again, it's not Peter's confession. It's from the Lord. But yet he's the one that says it. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
I hope it makes sense to the lady in Fort Wayne because we don't have a confession unless you have someone confessing it. And that's the my son is knocking on the door because we were in the office together and he locked himself out. But you don't have a confession unless you have someone confessing it. Like you have this man Robinson who's making not a confession but a denial. He is standing up and he's making a denial of Christ by not confessing. And so this is a tough thing for the confession of St. Peter. It is Peter's confession. In that it's his words, but it's not his words, it's the Father's words. And so what we would say is it's the apostolic ministry making a confession. And when the word is preached, when you preach, Pastor Wilkin is preaching, but you would say, well, not my words, but
Christ's
words. But yet you're still the guy in the pulpit that's running his mouth. And so, but yet you wouldn't say the church is built on me. You would say the church is built on his words. And the Lord would say, yeah, that sermon, I could build a church on it. It was centered upon me and what I did.
What if the words, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? It strikes me that today the modern church's sensibility is, well, the gates of hell are just about to prevail against us, and if we don't do this, do that, or something else, if we don't follow this fad, or if we don't get on the bandwagon, then the church will succumb to the gates of hell. We've got to keep building it.
And there it is. We're going to do it. That's us. We're going to make that. We had a transfer recently from a huge church where there was an Easter celebration, and there was clowns, and there was strongmen, and there was a cannon, and the Lutheran went up to his pastor and said, "Where's Jesus? He's the resurrection. What is going on?" And the guy says, "Well, we'll get to that. We were just trying to get the visitors here. We'll get to that next week. The gospel is never something that you can get to next week. There may never be a next week. There may not be a tonight." The gospel is to be preached. That confession of Peter is to be preached. We do not build the church. Christ does. And Christ does it by his confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, the gates of Hades won't overcome. But the fun thing is when we deny Christ, well, then we're not only opening the door for the gates of hell to come in, we're allowing Satan to preach. Get behind me, Satan. So there's no... Where you go to church and where you choose to go to church, that's what the Confession of St. Peter tells us, is a very important. If the guy is preaching Christ and him crucified, if that is the center of his preaching and his teaching, that's what that pastor's teaching, well, that's where you need to be in church. The church may look rinky-dink, the lights may flicker a little bit, it may need a paint job, but that's where Christ is doing his business. If you're in a church which is all painted and cleaned and beautiful, all of our churches should be that, but I'm making a point, and the message is not Christ in him crucified. It's something else, and the guy is making a point not to preach Christ in him crucified. Remember the confession of St. Peter, and remember how Peter was Satan's tool rather than Christ's tool when he gave his own opinion. That's the business. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him put off himself. I don't want to talk about me. And let him take up his cross and follow me. Whoever loves his life will lose it. So I love my life, and I love being popular. I love what's going on with me, and I love the cameras on me. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his life? That's all about the confession of St. Peter. It's all about Jesus being confessed as the one who takes away our sin. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, it's perfectly fine. But now I have to cut you off because our time is up. And it's I'm really quite sad about it. But life goes on and the show goes on as well. Pastor George Borg,
thank you enough for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. And we actually stayed connected.
Yeah, and I got to let my son in, who's outside, going, my dad doesn't like me.
You reassure him.
Thank you, Todd.
Tell Thomas, Daddy loves you.
Yeah,
and so does Pastor Wilkin from afar.
All right, take care.
You too. Pastor
Bye-bye.
George Borghardt is associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled "Peter and His Rocky Confession." Look at that account again. There's either victory or surrender, and there's nothing in between. The church is full of pastors nowadays, sadly, who think that they can occupy a middle ground between the gates of hell will not prevail and get behind me, Satan. They think they can somehow wiggle in between victory for the church and surrender to the devil and to the world and strike a compromise between the two. There is no compromise. It is either victory. The gates of hell will not prevail against this bold confession, even though the one who confesses may have his life taken from him for making such a confession. The gates of hell have not prevailed, or their surrender, which is, far be it from you, O Lord. Let me protect you. Let me save your reputation. In fact, to save Jesus' reputation, I might not even mention him. That's surrender. When we come back, we'll be talking about homosexuality. Pastor Eric Andre will be our guest.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Kevin Martin, Mark Mule, Judy O'Neill, Al Pendergrass, Derek Kurth, Pastor James Hollowich, Teresa Yeager, Carrie Ann Kurth, Wanda Beck, and Karen Potts. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Since the state of Washington passed a referendum allowing physician-assisted suicide, many residents have become alarmed about their future medical care. The Coalition Against Assisted Suicide has been receiving calls from senior citizens, people with disabilities, and caregivers who want to make sure their doctors and hospitals won't be involved in this new killing process. So the Coalition's embarking on a statewide campaign to establish assisted suicide-free zones or safe harbors of medical care. They're compiling a list of Washington facilities and medical personnel who pledge not to practice physician-assisted suicide. A successful and visible campaign would persuade many not to help in killing their patients. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for more details.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.